Record.
Okay, good morning. Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back. You see, I have a lot of Sfarim open here. I don't have time to like make copies of everything. But we are up to Parshas Pekudei. This course of learning Parshas Pekudei, concluding all of Sefer Shemos, which the Ramban calls the Sefer of Geula, the Book of Redemption. It concludes with Hashem resting within our midst. And he writes, and that is the ultimate Geula. The ultimate geula, it is not enough to leave suffering, to leave Egypt. It is not enough only to receive the Torah, the Ramban says, or to enter the land of Israel. It is all of that plus having Hashem in our midst. And that's because that's the way that the Sefer ends. The book begins, the Parsha begins, Ela Pekudei Mishkan, Mishkan Ha'idus. These are the accountings of the Mishkan. We are smack in the middle of tax season right now. So for all the Jewish accountants, they probably appreciate this Parsha if they have time to learn the Parsha. They should have, find time to learn the Parsha. Mishkan Eidos, these are the accountings of all the Mishkan. All the donations came in and they did an accounting for them. Mishkan Ha'edos, the word Mishkan is used twice here. The Mishkan of testimony, of witness. Asher Pukarapi Moshe, which was counted through Moshe, Avodas HaLeviim, Diadi Tamar ben Aaron HaKohen, and Itamar was in charge of the Leviim and overseeing the accounting in the Mishkan. Says Rashi, we're going to learn several different points on this pasuk. Says Rashi, Eila Pekude, Peparsha Zu Nimnu Kol Mishkele Nidvasa Mishkan. In this parsha, we learn about all the donations that were given in the to the Mishkan. Lekesef, Ula Zahav, Ula Nechoshes, the gold, the silver, the copper, the nimnu kol kelav, lechol avodaso, and we learned, and we'll learn about all of the utensils, the kelim that are used in the Mishkan for all of their work. Says Rav Gamliel Rabinovich, a very simple idea, a very powerful idea. Kol masha nastu v'nidvu Yisrael Mishkan, everything that the Jewish people donated to the Mishkan was counted and written down forever. Lo haya afilu prad achad katan shelo nimna. Even a small donation, everything was counted. Laharos bazet to teach us shelo mezalzel haborei bishum prad katan, that Hashem does not ignore or overlook even something small. Lachain. And silver. Every donation was accounted for and cherished and beloved by the Ribono Sha'olam. And he says, now, all the more so in our life, we may come to think, what is my davening going to really matter? I can skip it, or I'll skip these few paragraphs, or I don't really have time to learn today. It doesn't really matter. I know there are other people that are probably attending this year. My attendance for one day, 2 days, doesn't really make a big difference in the world. Says Rav Gamliel, of course it does. Of course it does. Everything that we do matters to Hashem, everything big and everything minor, because in Hashem's eyes, everything really is all the same. That is the first thought for this morning. It's a powerful thought, impactful thought about everything that we do. Obviously, thinking about the Chayalim and the army is a perfect example of this, because everybody knows in the army, you're given a specific task. And your task, you must take very, very seriously. Oh, it looks minor. Like, we hear people, and they're like, oh, you know, there's a group of engineers. They're mechanics. There's one group. There's one, like, base that fixes the cars. Like, what's the big deal? Fixing the cars in the middle of a mobilization of a war, you are super important, beyond important, to make sure that everything can be fixed in a moment's notice. You're a medic. Okay, so you don't know combat? Medics are flown in the middle of a war zone to save people's lives. V'chulei, v'chulei. So we're not in a war zone. But each one of us takes responsibility for our own actions, and they also have repercussions in Shemayim, and Hashem looks at all the things that we do, cherishes them, and loves them. Eila Pikudei HaMishkan, Mishkan HaEdos. These are the countings of the Mishkan of Eidos. How would you testify, how would you define the word Eidos? Testimonies. The Mishkan of testimonies. Anything else? What is the Mishkan testifying about? Going to court. What is the Mishkan testifying about? What? Hashem's love for us. Okay, beautiful. Any other? What? We have a place to go. Okay, very nice.
Hashem has a place, and not just that we have a place to go, but Hashem has a place in our lives and our
So we're testifying that Hashem.
Then there's that Hashem.
There's a place for Bilvavi Mishkan Evan. There's a place in our hearts for Hashem.
Our acceptance of the Torah.
So Yossi's saying an idea. It's a tough one to fit in. What's a Torah and Mishkan? What's the relationship here? What would you say? We accept the God. So part of acceptance. So the Ramban writes, the Mishkan is a continuation of Matan Torah. Okay, so let's look at the Mefarshim here. Today we're talking a lot about bearing witness. I don't like that term. It doesn't sit well with me. I'm saying the term is wrong. But I feel like bearing witness is a very passive term. Experiencing, you know, what happened, you know, is it different? That's just me. So what does it mean that the Mishkan is a Mishkan of testimony or of bearing witness to what? Says Rashi. Rashi writes, Eidos liYisrael, Sheviter leHamakadosh Baruch Hu Maitzeh Ego. This is a testimony to the Jewish people, for the Jewish people, that Hashem forgave them about Maisa Egal, about the Egal Azav, Shaharei Hishresh Chinasa Beinehem, that Hashem still chooses to rest Hishchina amongst them. Says the Ma'aral, something very, very beautiful. That what do you see from here? This frames the Mishkan. Like, what is the relevance of the Mishkan today? What does the Mishkan teach us about ourselves, about the Jewish people, about our relationship to Hashem? We are coming off of the worst sin, at least in history up until now, and maybe arguably historically. The Chet Egel's ramifications forever. In fact, many say the Yom Kippur service that we have every single year still has to mechaper for Chet Egel. It was a major, major betrayal. Says the Maharal, you let people into your home that you hate. If you feel that you're going to put someone, that somebody that's going to come into your home is going to make your family feel unsafe, or somebody that just detests you so much, do you feel comfortable having that person in your home? No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. The Jewish people, after Chet Egel, they felt dirty. They felt hated. Not necessarily because Hashem said anything, but because they did something which was so dirty and so inappropriate that naturally you could very much feel that. Says the Ma'aral, that Hashem encouraged everybody to enter the Mishkan. He said, I love each and every one of you. I care about each and every one of you. The Ma'aral writes, you would never let a sone into your house. It's unsafe. It's uncomfortable. It's your house, not his house. The only people you'd let into your house are ohavim, people that you love, that you want to embrace. And he says, this is exactly what the deeper understanding of Rashi, that this is a testimony. It's a testimony that Hashem understands that we sinned, and he understands we did tshuva, and he wants us back. Husband to wife, right? He wants us back in his life. He wants to have a real relationship with us. Relationships, sometimes people make mistakes, tshuva needs to happen, and this represents a full rectification of that relationship. The Or HaChaim HaKadosh quotes Yossi Reiman, or maybe the opposite way. He says, the Or HaChaim writes, Perish Pekudas HaMishkan Hu HaEidah Shia Torah Ki Kol Zman Sheyisrael Oskim BaTorah Hu Mekayimim Mitzvoseha Yiskayim HaMishkan V'Zula Zeh Ein Mishkan. The Mishkan is an Eidos only when it's conditional, when the Jewish people are doing good, are some very different than Rashi, to testimony that when the Jewish people are learning Torah, serving Hashem, are behaving nicely to each other, then Hashem rests in their midst. Right? Symbolic of the Kruvim, almost. Right? That's not only Bein Adam Chaver, but also Bein Adam Makom. When we're able to do that, then the Eidus is that Hashem will be there in our midst. So we had Rashi, the Or HaChaim. Last idea.
Rabbi.
Yeah.
So, with the angle, everything, the Eidus struggle was going in, there is a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
Adam seems to be a sin that they committed that really put them over the top, that now, because they're not, they had to be in the desert for 40 years. Why? Like you say, to me, it sounds like the angle is even worse than with the mirage. It seemed to be a much bigger sin. Why was it the mirage that put him over the top? Why not this? This was the sin.
So the miraglim was a straw that broke the camel's back, that Hashem said you have to stay in the, you have to stay here for 40 years. You guys don't deserve Eretz Yisrael. The next generation is going to inherit Eretz Yisrael. I think one answer is that it's cumulative. It's not one thing. I think Moshe Rabbeinu, I think in Parshat Va'alotcha, I think, writes like, you tested me 10 times already. It's enough. Like, they're just, it's too much already. A different answer is that how many times are you allowed to make mistakes as a nation, right? As a generation. So you could say there are different sins. One is that they despised Eretz Yisrael. They wanted to run away from it. They didn't want it. And the other one is they replaced their leader with a golden calf. So you could say that one's avot zara, one is like not trusting in Hashem. But at its core, it's also just about belief, betrayal, trust in the Ribono Shel Olam. And, you know, fool me once, the line. Fool me once, it's on me. Fool me twice. Fool me once on you. Fool me twice on me, right? Like, how many? Shame on me. So how many times until the Jewish people get something that's more long-lasting? So it could be already at the miraglim. It's like, you should have known. Come on. Come on. We went to therapy. We, you know, you admitted that you have a mistake and you did it, right? And you went through tshuva process. I gave you the secrets. You give me this rachamim. We went through this, and now you continue to do things that are acts of betrayal. So at a certain point, okay, the next generation is going to go in. It's almost like it's not punishment, but it's like a reality that's going to happen at a certain point. What do you think? Yeah, could be. All right. Okay. So the Das HaKain of Ali Tosfos shares a third answer to why the Mishkan's called Eidos. And this, I would say, is the most difficult and challenging to understand. He says, Davar Acher, Shai Eidos LaMoshe, whose testimony not about Hashem's forever wanting to be embraced with him, and it's not about us keeping the mitzvos.
Two pepper herring and one cinnamon.
Two.
And it is about Moshe Rabbeinu. Eidos LaMoshe ki b'shasha chashduhu shaganav shkalim mimelechas ha-mishkan. Amar lahem Moshe rosani she-yamishkan Eidos. See, the Jewish people did an accounting here. And after the accounting, they came back and they said, we're short 1,775 shkalim. We don't know where that went. And all's eyes turned to Moshe. And they suspected him of taking the money for himself. I don't know where they thought he put it, like underneath his sleeping bag in the ohel. I don't know, like where, but you see how leaders in general do get blamed for a lot of things. And Moshe, sometimes they're right and sometimes they're wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu here, and this is part of taking leadership. Moshe Rabbeinu here is blamed and suspected of stealing from the Mishkan. Moshe ultimately finds out that they missed an accounting. They forgot to count the Vavim Ha'amudim or La'amudim, the hooks that connected the walls, the ceiling, the coverings to the walls of the Mishkan. There were 1,775 hooks, or they were worth that in Shkalim. And that's where everything was left out. So Hashem says, this is a Mishkan Ha'idus to show that we trust Moshe Rabbeinu. Edus for Moshe. Now, anyone have any problem with that? Or how do we understand that on a deeper level? Mishkan Ha'idus, it's an Edus that we trust Moshe Rabbeinu.
Well, that's important again, because right before Kriyat Yam Suf, it says, Vayamid with Hashem Moshe Abdo, and then they messed up. And so now it's maybe showing that they are siding with Moshe, believing in him again.
100%. So the Rav Druk elaborates on this, and he writes that really the entire Torah hinges upon this, a trust and a reliance in Moshe Rabbeinu. One of the Yud Gimel Yikari Emuna that we have is that Moshe, the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo Tehei Machlefes, will never change. That is the Torah that was given to us from Har Sinai. So this is something that is so, so important, to have a trust in Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.
Didn't Moshe just go to bat for them?
He just went to bat for them.
Because Hashem wanted to destroy everybody.
Yeah.
And wasn't for Moshe, that people will be dead, right?
Correct.
How in the right mind, if someone goes to bat for you, someone's there for you, does everything for you, and he's always there for them. But especially now, did they feel that way? Did they actually voice distrust? It's very hard to understand how somebody can act. Because
they still have their slave mentality.
I understand, but when someone saves your life, when someone saves your life, you feel that you owe that person something. You feel indebted to them. And then with the kind of voice, the guy's stealing from us. It just doesn't seem that how anybody can do that.
They didn't know that a certain
way. So I'm asking, did they
I don't know. Moshe taught them, you give me the Sarachimim. Was that enough? Nonetheless, I think that we have a
Rabbi.
I think, one second, with two different groups of people, I think we have like this hot, cold, on, off relationship in life. One is with leaders in general. We could love them and hate them. Some people just, it's automatic. Everything that leaders say is always right, which is not a good thing. And also with our parents, you know, think of teenagers with parents. Like, it could be amazing, right? And then it's like a second later, it's like, I can't believe those words came out of your mouth. That's part of teenage development. It's with
adult children too.
Okay, right. So if you look at it from that perspective, that Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe looked at himself this way, again, going to Parshas Baloska, as like a suckling mother for the infant children. That's the way he looked at his relationship with them. Not that he didn't consider them babies, but he considered himself like a mother and a father to Am Yisrael. Then we can understand that at times they're going to love him, Vayinu Vashem Moshe Avdo, and other times like say things where we're like, what? How can that come out of your mouth? I think from that perspective, maybe we can understand why they would suspect him Again, later on, they suspect him of, not being faithful to Tzipporah. That's horrific, right? But that's what they, again, we're also looking at this in a bird's eye view many, many years later. Yes, is that Sam?
From personal experience, A, is being the gabbai at the Minyan, and actually when I was taking the Torah around to various houses, there's a Shiva house, which you talk about, Zohar, Zayin, Adar, that there are times when people would say, you did a good job, and hand you something. And I will tell you, and I once almost got, when I forgot to take the money that were in those tzedakah boxes, and people say, they call Chevy or somebody and say, what's going on? It's a very I'm not trying to be Moshe Rabbeinu, but it's a very uncomfortable situation sometimes when, it's put in your hands and you sort of have to say, I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this for the shul. I'm doing this for you personally and whatever. Yeah. Very, very uncomfortable position. And I can understand why anybody, I'm not being Moshe Rabbeinu. I'm just saying it's a very uncomfortable position.
Yeah, Sam's raising a different point. I think it's slightly different, but also very, very important, which is about overseeing tzedakah. Overseeing tzedakah is a very, very difficult and very important position, but very challenging position to be in sometimes because you have a lot of eyes on you and it's challenging. Okay, moving on, I want to dovetail. So we first began by saying how important every action that we have is. Number two, we discussed three in different interpretations of what Mishkan HaEdos means. Going off of this medrash that the Das Kanim alludes to, you have to ask yourself the question as to how they forgot about these hooks. They did an accounting of everything. How did Moshe oversaw this accounting? Why did they initially forget about the hooks? Right? Why did they forget about this? So says Rav Moshe Sternbach the following. He says the whole goal of the hooks was not important on its own, but it was to connect two things that needed strengthening together. So he writes that sometimes we overlook or discount those that strengthen the Torah itself. Right? The Mishkan represents Torah, our relationship to Hashem. Right? Everybody has their role in that. One role is to strengthen the connection between those. Be the supporting beams or be the hooks that hook up or connect the Torah to the people. And he writes, those are the supporters of Torah. And they very often are overlooked and ignored because you look at the person that's in the front of the room and you look at the other bigger names. And that's all that gets the press time. So he says that this comes to teach us that the hooks, those that connect the Torah to the people, the supporters of Torah, right? Eitz Chayimi L'Machazikim Ba. The Torah is a life, is a living tree for those that hold on to it, right? The learning Torah, this is the Chafetz Chaim. V'tomcheha me'usha. Who's Tomcheha? The supporters, right? The supporters of the Torah also should get enriched. Should get, enriched doesn't mean here. It means in the Olam Haba as a result of this. So maybe that is the message over here. Rav J.J. Schachter, one of my Rebbeim, has a beautiful, beautiful interpretation about what was going on here. And it really gets into what the goal of the Mishkan really was. And he says here, what is a vav? A vav in Hebrew is a hook, right? The hooks were missing. But what else is a vav? If you go to a store in Israel and you buy a curtain for the bathroom, right? What do you have to buy? Got to get a squeegee too. But you have to buy vavim. You have to buy hooks that connect it to the pole around the shower. A vav, even in modern Hebrew, is a hook. So a vav is also a letter. What does that the vav mean? Very good. It's a connector. Right? Vav in Hebrew is Vav HaChibur. It connects things together. So he says here, what was left out was maybe the most vital part or the message of really what the Mishkan represented. The Mishkan itself was a connector. It was a connector between us and Hashem. It was a place, it was a meeting place between all the Shvatim. It was located in the middle of the encampment for all of Klal Yisrael to go visit. Yerushalayim today, where is it? You say it's in the center of Israel. I don't know if it's exactly in the center of Israel precisely, but that's the way that everybody refers to it. Because really, not only the Mishkan, but all of us, our role is to be a connector in so many different ways. What's amazing is what day were we created on? Vav. Yom Vav. Yom Ha Shishi. The sixth day. Yom Vav. When Cain killed Hevel, Hashem said to him, you know, where's your brother? What did he say? Ashomer Achi Anochi. Am I my brother's keeper? Hashem then sent him wandering around the world. Vayasem Lakayin Os, and he placed an os, a sign on his forehead. What was that os that he put on his forehead? Very good. You know this already? Very good. He put a vav on his forehead. Cain, you failed your mission as a person. Right? Hashomer Achi Anochi. Yes, in fact, you are your brother's keeper. You are responsible because your role is to be a mechaber, a chibur, personally, to other people, to connect to others, and to make connections between us, other people, and the Ribono Shel Olam. It is really the message of the Mishkan itself. That's really what it is getting at. Okay, one last idea for this morning. Oh, say this one. This is from a sefer called Shivan Panim LaTorah, written by Simcha Raz. Simcha Raz is mainly a biographer. He wrote a very important biography about Rav Kook in Hebrew, which was translated into English. And we have his Sfarim on Chumash downstairs. He has a collection of vorts, divrei Torah, short thoughts on the Torah. At the end of the parsha, we learn about the erection of the Mishkan, building the Mishkan itself, and the bracha that Moshe gave to the Jewish people as a result. And the Torah just says, Vayivarech Osam Moshe. Moshe blessed the Jewish people. Rashi writes, what was the bracha? What bracha? What's the drasha the rabbi gives when you build the Mishkan? That's like a big deal, right? So he gives a bracha to the Jewish people. And he says, Yehi Ratzon, Shetishre Shechina B'maseh Yedeich. It should be your will that the Shechina should be in your actions, B'maseh Yedeich. Minom Hashem Elokeinu Aleinu. And Hashem should be pleasant amongst you. So what's the deeper meaning of this? So he writes, that Hashem should be B'maseh Yedeich. That in everything you do, B'maso, matan, when you go out to work, when you go to the supermarket, when you go to visit people in the hospital, and everything you do, there should be Shechina in your hands. It should be infused with godliness in everything and all aspects that you do. But then he asks a question from the Ksav Sofer. Avraham Schreiber, the son of the Chasam Sofer, he writes, why do we need this bracha? Hashem already told us, Va'asuli mikdash, v'shachanti v'sofa. If you make the Mishkan, if you make the mikdash, Hashem is going to reside amongst you. If Hashem is going to reside amongst you, why need a bracha of Yehi Rashon Shetishre Shechina b'maseh yedeich? No, you made the Mishkan. Hashem is there. So the Ksav Sofer says something very, very sharp. He says, yes, it's one thing. It's one thing that the Mishkan comes and Hashem Shechina comes down. What's Moshe, you know, blessing the Jewish people with?
And they're not here for the Mishkan.
That they should want Hashem's Shechina amongst them, right? So many people push it away. They push away that love. They push away the opportunities. So it's not enough to have the beautiful edifice that represents the Ribono Shel Olam in this world. It's also what the people wanted. Think about how many years and decades and centuries we had the Beis HaMikdash. And people just They didn't care about it. They didn't want it in their lives. So there's an additional bracha here. The Shekhinah is there. It's waiting for us to want it, to want Hashem. And that is ultimately the bracha to focus our values and our ratzon on having Ribono Shel Olam in our lives.
Okay. What comes first? Wanting Hashem in your life or acknowledging?
Acknowledge.
As like, you know, you hear throughout the world all the different kinds of religions. You know, somebody is always watching, but Big Brother is always watching in terms of doing right and wrong. You know, you don't need witnesses. If you find $5 on the floor and no one else is in the room, you know, are you going to pocket it because no one is around to see? Or are you going to put it in the stuff a box, whether they're witnesses or not, kind of a thing? And so a lot of people say, just acknowledging that Hashem is in your life, you have to want it.
Yeah.
You might acknowledge that someone believe in God, but that doesn't mean it's going to necessarily factor into your daily life.
I think at different points in our lives, we need it in different ways. You know, sometimes it's the will, and sometimes it's the acknowledgement, and sometimes it could change from day to day also. Okay, I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos.